commentary. Heard each morning before the 7:30 news on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU. Here's Chris Conley.
The simple, lazy analysis is to look at the rank hypocrisy behind last week's Senate rule change on judicial and cabinet nominees. No longer will a 60-vote supermajority be needed. They can be confirmed with just 51 votes. There are 52 Democrats who voted for that change, and each and every one of them who was in the Senate in 2005 is on the record supporting the filibuster when the other party was in the majority. Then-Senator Obama warned that gridlock would get worse if the rules are changed. 8 years ago, Harry Reid gave a long floor speech saying that using raw majorities to push things through was contrary to the traditions of the Senate. But I'm more interested in the political calculations that go into these kind of naked flip-flops. So here are a few possibilities. The first explanation, and the simplest, is that among the great unwashed, the voters, the issue tests well in polls. Most people who didn't take civics probably don't understand filibusters and cloture and U.S. Senate rules. So if you ask them in a poll, is a 51-49 vote fair? They would answer yes. The rule change has already pushed Obamacare further down in the news cycle. There is also the possibility that internal polling shows an ugly 2014 election where Democrats have to defend 21 seats and Republicans have to defend only 14. Perhaps they know that a year from now, none of President Obama's nominees are getting through the Senate. I'm not sure that's the case. Dems may lose North Dakota and Louisiana. They may pick up a seat in Maine. There are 45 Republicans now, and I think the Republicans will gain seats, but gaining six? That's a tall order. The rule change could also be a rally-the-base strategy. Liberals were demoralized that the health care rollout is so badly botched, so this re-energizes them. And the Democrat left already feels the White House hasn't delivered enough of what they expected. It may also be a case of arrogance. Our ideas are right. We won the election. We need to bulldoze those who might block our agenda. With the House safely in GOP hands, the president will need a fully staffed bureaucracy and judiciary to advance his agenda, and in divided government, the balance of power really lies in the rulemaking powers within the executive branch. I think there's truth to all of these explanations. As usual, Democrats are sufficiently ruthless, and Republicans aren't. The GOP could shut down the Senate, blocking all legislation until old rules of order are restored. They could threaten budget cuts if they work with the House for any cabinet member who is appointed to their department without 60 votes. Legislation still needs that supermajority. Committee hearings need unanimous consent before they can begin each work's days. And nominees still face open-ended questioning and hearings before coming to the floor. Republicans could use all of those delay strategies. They still control those levers of power. They're not saying what they'll do publicly. Passive elephants, aggressive donkeys. You've heard that story before.